T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron, let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we find our friend and yours, Mr. Bob Grove. Grover, it's been a while, at least for you and I to speak. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. It has. It's always good to be on with you and you and Ron both. Always enjoy talking hockey with you.
So 13 hours ago, one of your all-time legendary tweets came out. You're the most amazing statistician, the most amazing historian that I've ever seen. And this, I'll just quote this one. Crosby tonight with his 72nd career goal on the backhand. Are you keeping track of that, or is somebody else? Do you keep track of that?
Well, I do. But, you know, to be honest with you, so does the National Hockey League. I mean, you can go to NHL.com and look this up. And I know that their site was down last night because I was trying to confirm their number was the same as my number. And their site was down. I was not able, I mean, the whole site wasn't down, but I wasn't able to make sure they had the same number as me. But I've checked it most recently, like beginning of the year or end of last year. But yeah, I used to always, keep track. I mean, I keep track of a lot of crazy, stupid stuff, and that's one of the things I do track.
I mean, that is really interesting to me, and I can't believe that over the course of his career, there's anybody else who scored more on the backhand. Do you happen to have that information handy?
Well, I don't have it handy, but I will tell you that, you know, the guy who I remember going through these before, looking at where he stacks up in the league, and the other guy who jumps out a lot is Brad Marchand of Boston. He's another guy who scores a ton of goals on the backhand. And, you know, if you think about it, if you think about where those two score a lot of goals, around the net, right? Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. But Sid's always been known for that. You know, he's got the straight blade for the most part. We all know the attention to detail that he puts on his entire game. And he's always been a guy that's been very comfortable scoring on the backhand and look, the other thing is, you guys know this, you've seen him make passes on the backhand that are tape to tape through legs and sticks. He's absolutely amazing.
How is he playing for you, Bob? I mean, he's had a goal in the last two games, but he had gone a long time. I think, you know, one goal since like December, December 5th, a long time. How is he playing for you? Still great?
Yeah. I mean, I have zero issues with his game. I mean, look, the numbers are what they are. And, you know, all of us like to sort of gravitate to the numbers when we're evaluating how somebody does, and that goes double for guys like Crosby. I mean, he's been having trouble finishing plays. I mean, he just can't buy one. I've seen, you know, in the last couple weeks where goaltenders have either just made incredible saves or he's just missed or thrown it off the bar or whatever the case may be, and Gustafson made a good save on him last night on a shot that I thought was probably headed for the net. So he's had trouble finishing. And that's especially been true on the power play. You know, his goal last night was his first power play goal in 30 games. That's the longest drought like that of his career that you're not used to seeing that. And you almost feel like he's pressing a little bit for that piece of his game, the goal scoring. But when I look at his whole game, okay, he's had a couple of off nights in the circle, like most of his teammates the last three or four games. But, you know, he's been good there. He's playing the rink, you know, he's coming back, he's doing his defensive duties as he always does. And I think, you know, he's been the driving force behind the success the Penguins have had, even though he doesn't have the gaudy numbers.
Bob Grove on the Nemecolon fan hotline. So let's get to the big question, it seems, of the week, the day, whatever. I don't buy into this, but a lot of people seem to believe that Geno's return has meant that the Penguins, and this was their fear, has meant that the Penguins suddenly become a little more irresponsible and lax defensively. What are your thoughts on that, Grover?
Well, I think my thoughts are that it's mostly baloney. to be honest with you. This was a narrative that was created in the weeks before he even got back in the game, you know? And so then when the Penguins stop winning 10 in a row and they start winning, you know, 4 out of 7, suddenly he's the problem. I'm sorry, there just are a lot of people in Pittsburgh. I see it on Twitter. Like, yeah. That's where they're living. They're like, that's where they're living. Like, okay, so now we're not winning every night, and it's all Geno's fault. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying any piece of that. I'm not. I mean, he's playing 20 minutes a night. So what happens the other 40 minutes when he's not on the ice? You going to blame him for that too? I mean, look, I've said all along, Geno is going to do what Geno does. He's not going to change his game at this stage of his career. You know, does he always follow the script? No, he does not. Defensively or when he has the puck. Does he sometimes turn it over in dangerous areas? Yes, he does. But you know what? That kind of coloring outside the Mike Sullivan lines, that's what makes Geno Geno. That's what makes him a Hall of Famer, is that he has the belief in himself and he has the ability to make plays that aren't the just let's just do it by rote. So I don't have a problem with it.
All right, Bob, but I think we would agree, and I agree with you, but they're not playing as well as they were, even though they've got a couple wins out of this.
Yeah.
You know, they're not playing as well, and I thought Jari was great at the beginning last night, that even though they had a big lead, I thought they were playing horribly, and then Jari gave up a couple questionable rebounds. Why are they drifting a little bit away? Is it just part of the ebb and flow of a long season?
Some of it is that, but they are not. I mean, and first we should start out with what Joe said at the top of the segment, which is they're still finding a way to win. And let's never forget that that's the most important thing, right? But you're absolutely right. They're not. They're not playing the same kind of hockey and, you know, that they were during their 10-game winning streak. And some of it is, look, Jari's rebound control the last few games has not been particularly great. I don't think the Penguins have the back-checking intensity that they had during that 10-game streak, not at all. And I think some of the details have absolutely left their game. And when I say details, you know, I mentioned earlier, they've had like 3 or 4 poor games in a row in the faceoff circle. And so puck possession is important, especially when you're doing it, you know, in either the offensive or defensive zone. And so I think about that. I think about their power play. It continues to underperform. Not only it wasn't an issue last night, but they're not getting as many chances as you would think they might get. And then on a lot of those chances, they're not even getting the number of shots on the net that you would expect a power play with that kind of a lineup to get. So, and they're also, they've taken some lazy penalties, which has not really been much of a problem for them this season. So for me, it's a lot of that kind of detail that has gone out of their game, and they do need to fix it because some of these third periods have been brutal to watch.
Yeah, I think people forget that they had an 8-5 game against San Jose right before Geno got back in the lineup, and then gave up three in the next game. Having said that, Grover, I think we're on the same page. I don't think Geno infects this team with, you know, irresponsible hockey. But, and I compare it, and there was a game on last night, Klay Thompson coming back to the Golden State Warriors. That team had been playing awesome all year. So had the Penguins, playing a certain way. When you incorporate any superstar back or star back into your lineup, it does completely alter people's roles and chemistry. And I think one example of that is Erod. Suddenly he's gone 6 games without a point. He's -4, yeah. Looks discombobulated. He's not playing the role he was. I guess the way I see it is you have to have faith that having a guy like a Geno or a Klay Thompson is ultimately going to give you the best chance to get where you want to go. But it's also true that it upsets whatever chemistry you had in their absence. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, I hear you, Joe. And you're right. I mean, 6 games in a row for Rodriguez, and he doesn't look like the same player. So I would say a couple of things about that. Number one, does anyone really think the pace that Erod was on was sustainable? Because it wasn't, and it isn't. For anybody. And so there's that. And let's face it, Erod is now spending more time playing with Malkin than he's ever done before, if I'm not mistaken. So those two have to kind of figure each other out. And that's not something you can just do in a couple of games. And I think they'll be fine getting there. And if that becomes an issue, like they just don't find the chemistry, you know, if you think about it, if he plays with them there, or you're going to go back to Kapanen, who he's been playing a lot with, right? So I'm thinking about Erod on the other line, so I'm sorry. But you've got to give these guys chemistry to figure it out. And part of it's Kapanen, because Kapanen, we all know, is his consistency is a big issue.
Bob, I'm fascinated by what's going on in Edmonton. You saw the exchange with Dreisaitl and the media guy the other day was ugly. They lose again last night, 6-0. And I read the story. They said the fans are actually throwing jerseys on the ice. They're 2-11-2 in the past 15, have lost 7 in a row. What is going on out there?
Well, the jersey tossing has actually been going on for before in Edmonton, so that's not new for them, and it's kind of sad to see.
Those things cost a lot of money.
They do, and you know what? Here's the thing. They're not getting the goaltending. That's, for me, that's a lot of it. It's not the whole story, but, you know, Koskinen last night, not even close to being good enough. You know, they took a risk. They took a risk at the start of the season, you know, going in with Smith, who's in his age and all that kind of stuff, and it hasn't worked out. He's been hurt. And just look at the way that team is playing right now. They get behind. I forget what the number is, but something like they've given up the first goal in something like 13 of 17 games. So they're chasing every single game. They're just chasing it all. And they're not getting the goaltending. And it's up to Ken Holland to fix it. Like, this is not Dave Tippett's issue. He doesn't have the guys. They have some injuries right now as well, but it's unbelievable to watch after the start that they had that this has happened to this team. And you look at this and you know what you think about is it took 5 years for Mario to get in a playoff game. Remember? We all remember that, right? It was frustrating. So think about, you know, McDavid and what could go down as all these almost like wasted years, wasted in the sense of you're trying to win the Stanley Cup and you can't even get into the postseason except for, you know, 1 year, I think, that they made it, and they came within a game again to the third round. So it's unbelievable to watch, but they need a goaltender. They need one desperately, and they need one right now.
What do you think of No Sid in the All-Star game?
Well, it's unfortunate because I think, you know, that's the thing that attracts you to those games. But, look, it's a competition, and I agree with those who are pointing out, like, can we stop the madness of having to send somebody from every team? I've always felt that way. I know why the NHL does it. We all know why they do it, but I don't support it. And if they didn't have that, he'd be there. But, you know, he understands the situation. And the two guys who were going there from Pittsburgh – and Jari and Gensel, they absolutely deserve to be there.
Gensel is a star, isn't he? I mean, so little physically, so unimposing, yet he's become a star.
He is. He's an unbelievable player around the net. And we've heard people talk about how smart he is and his ability to finish. I mean, his hands are just incredible. I mean, and we've seen this from the very start with this guy. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but you remember his first game. You know, he had 2 goals. And, okay, that's one game. He spent a few here, then he went back to the American League. Then he came back, and then that playoff run he was on, you know, in 17. You just knew right then that this was not your garden variety, you know, decent scorer. This was a special player who finds ways to finish plays all around the net. And, yes, he benefits from having Sidney Crosby, but it goes way deeper than that with Jake Gensel because he knows how to play with Sid, and we all know that not everybody can figure that out, just like everybody couldn't figure out how to play with Mario. It's not as easy as it always looks. It's demanding. It's demanding mentally as well as physically, and he's up to all of that stuff. So this kid is a special, special player.
Thank you, Grover.
All right, guys, thanks.
See you, Robert.